Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Kaya Biz.
Inside your business.
7 minutes now to 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. And as mentioned, we're getting inside your business. We're joined by the Chief Executive Officer of Chapu Chartered Accountants, Nomesa Mkunwana, who joins us now in studio. Such a pleasure to have you, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a while.
It has been a while. The last time I spoke to you, you guys were doing amazing things at Chapu Accountants. You were working with players in the public sector, many other entrepreneurs, but you've grown in scale, in size, and even in position, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. The last time I was here, I was still the quality director, responsible for quality within Chapu. So I'm now the CEO.
Look at you fly. We need horns for you. Ready, let's get it. We love celebrating women who grow within their careers. These horns are for you.
Thank you so much.
Almost there, almost there.
There we go. Thank you, appreciate it.
Sis Nomesa, incredibly proud of your work and the growth that you've attained within your company and your business. But again, as mentioned, you are chartered accountants. You are the guys we go to say, hey, here are these papers, these numbers. Help me make sense of them all, because the CIPC needs them. SARS needs them. I need them to get my tax pin. I need them to sit on the supplier base of a big corporate. I need them to log on to CSD for the government supplier base.
You need them to get funding as well.
Exactly.
So if you don't have them in order, then it also gets difficult to actually get funding.
Definitely. And I think let's emphasize this, right? Because essentially your role is not for fun. You essentially ensure that companies and businesses are able to survive for the long term.
Yes. So our role as auditors, so there's two roles. There's the accountant that actually helps you to prepare. So as much, I know sometimes a small business, we want to do everything ourselves. But as Google, you might not have the expertise to do the accounting record. So you need an accountant. Then as auditors, because I'm also a registered auditor. So as an auditor now, I come and I verify those transactions, those accounting records to assess, are they compliant?
Yes.
Are you compliant with your specific legal requirements within your industry that you are in? Are you compliant with SARS, as you've said?
Yes.
And because you'd find that you would have a lot of penalties if you're not complying with SARS. And sometimes it's not because you don't want to comply, it's just because you didn't know, you know, as well. So we check that, and we obviously check in terms of the framework, because you have to prepare those set of statements in terms of a specific framework. So
yes,
we check that as well.
You've just taken me back to my studying days, and I remember the lecturer specifically holding a piece of paper and saying, what you're trying to do is to track everything back, goes back to the source document. What is this thing, and is it actually what you say it is?
Yes.
So if you say there's an employee at the company, do they exist? Are they getting the salary? If this chair has been present, does it still sit within this particular office? Is it still being used for that particular purpose? And maybe that's what we need to understand, that auditing is really a journey. And maybe give us some insight as to how it is that you do your job, because whenever we hear the auditors are here, we always think, oh, we must be in trouble.
We must be in trouble. No, so I think you must see the auditors as people that are coming to add value. So
yes,
to actually, if let's say I've bought assets, I don't even know where the assets are.
Mm-hmm.
So the auditors will come and say, okay, you actually, here you need to put in a control. This is how it can help you to make sure that the chairs that you bought are sitting where you wanted them to sit. And if there's movement, this is how then you manage that, looking at your bank account. So you'd find also in the small businesses, there's a lack of segregation of duties. Everyone can have access to make payments. So I can actually start a transaction and pay myself, or change, you know, payments.
Yes.
And, you know, there's fraud risk that the audit can also help to identify. And so basically see the audit as a value add, as a strategic partner that can help you improve your internal controls to make sure that your funding or your funds are not being misappropriated. Because especially as your business is growing, you don't have hands on everything.
Yes.
So you need that auditor to help you with those processes, improving those processes.
Definitely. One thing that is important that you mention is, of course, the separation of functions. The accountant, yes, will be the accountant who does the books and puts them together.
Yes, yes.
But that's not the same person who will run the audit. It needs to be separate.
It needs to be independent people.
100%.
They also need to be independent. And remember, the auditors, you'd have to comply the specific requirements that they need to comply with. Yes. You also need to ensure that the auditor that you're appointing has an understanding of your industry and how you are doing, of your actual business as well. So that's also quite critical to when you are selecting the auditor, you're selecting someone that has experience mm-hmm. in your specific field.
Definitely. Let's speak to entrepreneurs, because as mentioned, you start the business, you have the idea, the passion, you manage to bootstrap and get some funding, you grow, you evolve, you manage your books. At what point as an entrepreneur, small business owner, do you need to be mindful or aware of seeking an auditor to provide you the support?
Yeah, so in terms of, it also depends on the different types of companies that you have. So most entrepreneurs, I think in our cases, will be private companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing called the PIC, public interest score, that the companies act will say, if your company is got a certain score, there's different criteria. I don't want to be technical in terms of determining that score. So the accountant would help you with determining that. And then based on that score, it would say, okay, I think it's over 350. You would then need to be audited. So there's a requirement to be audited in terms of the Companies Act and regulations. But also, as you are seeking funding, as I said, investors into your business, it also creates credibility when you want. So it's part of the due diligence. So if I'm expanding, I actually would need someone to invest in my business. If I come with an audited set already, it helps with the due diligence. It really increases then my credibility. It shows that I'm someone that is accountable with my finances and accountable with the business as well. So it also has that benefit. And so that's when you would then assess, okay, I need an auditor. And also if you're picking up a lot of red flags within your processes.
Got you.
I normally say if you've got a lot of business that's coming in, but looking at your cash flow and your bank balances, things are not adding up, you know, it's not making financial sense, then also consider then getting that independent eye to come and identify what is the real root causes of the problems that maybe you might be facing.
I'm glad you highlight this, because as you said, the public interest score is what will determine at what point then you should actually bring in an auditor, because so often we tend to base it on revenue, and revenue is just but one measure,
one line and one metric.
On an income statement, never mind the full spectrum of the financial statements. But is there, I guess, a magic number or a figure? I'm assuming, of course, the bigger the business gets, the busier and more people involved, that's when you do need to start considering such interventions.
Yeah, so the bigger the business is getting, as I've said, now you're no longer having a finger out everything. It's then important to consider. So I've said the score, it's 350, but it looks at your number of employees, so the people that you have. They also look at the revenue, but there's a difference, a lot of criteria that they look at to determine that score. So based on the revenue, based on the employees that you have, they would also, they then do a calculation to say, okay, over 350, you have to be audited, but if you're below, you can still decide.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, do it even if you're below, and don't look at the cost of the audit, because small business.
I was about to go there.
The cost issues.
Let's talk about that, right?
But think of it in terms of now the cost of non-compliance
in the
long run.
Exactly.
You know, so if you are non-compliant, I would pay 10 penalties to SARS, which can be hefty. And I think in the current situation, you know, SARS is going to be quite rigorous in their processes to make sure that we are compliant.
Exactly.
So the cost of compliance, of non-compliance, is actually outweighs the cost of the audit itself. As auditors, yes, we would look at the business, so we wouldn't charge the same fee to a bigger organization. You'd obviously look at the transactions and the revenue and so forth in determining then the fee.
An interesting one, because someone might ask, okay, so how is that fee calculated? Because number one, this is your speciality. You studied for it. It's hours and time and resources that you're also allocating. You're taking up space in our office, which is often the frustration when the auditors are attacked. The auditors are around. They're in the boardroom.
They're in the boardroom. We can't use our boardroom anymore.
But is there a model? And I understand you can't, you know, disclose too much, but just for us to have a basic understanding, is it...
I wouldn't say there's a magic number, you know. We would look at obviously the the transactions and look at how big your revenue is and your scope of work that we'll need to do. We'd obviously also look, because in terms of what we are then required to audit, so it's not just the financials, we also need to check compliance with legislation as well. So that also is a factor in determining the fee. We're using our own resources, so technical resources that you are using. And the recommendation, we're going to give you practical recommendations. We're going to give you problems, solutions to your problems. Sorry, not problems, solutions to your problems. And that's one of our principles as CHAPO, that we are solution driven. We want to add value. So we don't come as just, I'm here just to audit you. And that's it. I think even in the way that audit is done, it's expanded. We look at also at your risk processes as well to identify the gaps there. How's your risk assessment process? So it's quite a comprehensive audit that gets undertaken. So that will then come out on the fee.
Definitely. Entrepreneurs, I hope you're paying attention and, of course, taking notes as to how best it is that you fully evaluate at what point within your business growth and direction do you need to consider bringing an independent auditor on board, just to ensure that you've got the necessary controls in place within your organization. Sister Lumisa, I guess as we wrap up, you've really given us I appreciate that you've simplified it for entrepreneurs and people who are so bogged down with so many other responsibilities, but hopefully it sparks some level of interest and curiosity for them. I guess for anyone who's listening, how do we get in touch and reach out to you? Not only for auditing services, but how do entrepreneurs need to evaluate that list and scope of introspection with the accountants to say, hold on, I think we need to take it a step further now.
Okay. Yeah, so in terms of how you get hold of us, our website, chapu.co.za, or info@chapu.co.za. But if you are getting an auditor, it's important to check that that auditor is registered with ERBA. So
yes, the Independent Regulatory Board of Auditors.
Thank you. We're so used to abbreviations. So because only a registered auditor with the RRBA can issue an audit opinion. So at the end, we'll come with the opinion to say, yes, and we've done everything. And in our view, we can give a reasonable assurance that everything is well or it's not well. And we'll have a management report with all the detail of how then you need to address so for the next, for the future and so forth. And then in terms of making that step, I think the first thing is to ensuring that your accounting records are in order. You've got a set of an accounting record. It also makes the audit more efficient, and it also helps with reducing then the cost and the hours, because unfortunately, the auditors will charge you per hour. So making sure that your accounting records are properly managed with the accountant from the get-go would also make the audit easy as well.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you. And I'm excited to see how this does grow and develop. And most importantly, more entrepreneurs just beefing up on their level of compliance. I often hear from funders that they say like, oh, we've got money to give away to entrepreneurs, but some of the basics are lacking. So thank you again for your time and all the very best in your endeavors. It's such a pleasure to see your growth and have you back in studio.
No, thank you so much. It was great to be back on studio.
Fantastic. That was the Chief Executive Officer of CHAPU Chartered Accountants, Nomesa Mkunwana, joining us in studio this evening to guide us as entrepreneurs, right? Yes, it's one thing to have your accountant in place and your numbers in order, but at what point in your business size and scale do you bring independent auditors on board? Remember, one of the key metrics there is the public interest scale. Your accountant should be able to help you figure it out. If not, do keep taking notes and, of course, get in touch with many certified chartered accountants, rather, who will be able to assist you, like the likes of CHAPU.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.